Is Beth here with us?
Oh, Beth? Yeah, she's there. Amir, you can just ask any questions you have, or, you know, that's sort of the format. We just kind of chime in when we have something to say. So.
Okay. Yeah. I'll just watch for a while and then see if some question comes up.
Okay.
I need some help not getting involved in the politics. I find myself being pulled in, which not, you know, normally I can ignore it.
Maybe you are identifying yourself with that.
Yeah, is that what's happening, Trish? You're identifying? You're identifying. Are you identifying with it, is what Rami said?
Yeah, I am identifying with it. I guess I must be. Either that, also, I guess maybe there's some fear of, you know, what's going to happen or something. Because I say, normally I ignore it all, and I just haven't been able to this time.
Yeah. Well, it is pretty dramatic right now.
Well, anyway, John, I need some help.
Yeah, you just know that all these happenings are not happening. Nothing's happening. You're, you know, and that's just because you're not paying attention to the formless presence. You're paying attention to these different various scenes that are passing as they will pass, and they're not true. You're formless. These things are happening within the formlessness that you are, and there's no need to worry about anything. Nothing's happening to you. The illusion of experience is created by the I am a body idea. You know you're not body, so there's no experience. No experiencer.
John, if I was overstepped, I'm sorry. I just got excited and I said something earlier. Sorry.
It's all good. Anybody, you know. The formless presence is using all these bodies to speak and to listen. It's the same one. So there's only if I believe I'm a body named John, is there other people. So anybody can speak and listen, and because it's the same one. It's literally like if we were on stage as a one-man show and you're playing the drums and playing the guitar and doing this and doing that. You're in the one-man show. You're the guy on the stage. You're the waitress serving the drinks. You're the people in the place drinking. You're the guy who brought the drinks. You're the guy who's waiting in line in the bathroom. And the, you know, the lady who's just showing up with her date. You're all these. There's no individuality whatsoever. And you just have to remain in formless presence. This is seen. Oh, so that I. So if I know myself in a real sense, as that formless presence, then I can't be informed. Like Maharaj says, I can look around and I could see the various walls or body forms in which this formless presence is appearing. But again, since you're not body, all body-based experiences are illusion. The illusion of experience is created by this concept, I am a body. In a world, well, if you're formless, the space in the room is not experiencing anything that's going on within the room, but it's just providing the space for whatever is going to happen. But nothing is happening according to the space. See, I'm identified with a speck of dust in the lens rather than being identified with the light, not even the projector, just the light, the pure light that's projected through. And I'm identifying with a speck and wondering what the life expectancy of this speck of dust is that's floating around. But you are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. Body's not your identity. It's really not. So everything that you say about, oh, I don't like the politics. Okay, if you had no body, where's the politics? If you had no body, whose side are you on? Are you to the right? Are you to the left? Doesn't make sense. You're all of everything. So how? Identification with an individualized body form creates this illusion that I'm living a life, but you're not living a life. You're formlessness. It's yin meditation. That's it. More meditation. If I was sitting, number one, I don't watch, or, you know, you like you started about, yeah, I work on Capitol Hill or whatever, but I'm totally uninvolved in whatever. I don't even know what's going on right now. I mean, I know sort of like, okay, things are happening, but I don't know what the process is, or I have no interest in that whatsoever. And that's just because there's no identification. It's a dream. Why am I going to disturb my mind with a dream? It doesn't make sense. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. I really have no control over it. My mind sits there and says, I don't like what's happening. Well, but it's happening. So what's the point of saying I don't like what's happening? Just to disturb the spontaneous presence that you are. And it's only because, like, you can't think about anything when you're formless presence, because all thoughts will not make sense. No, it's not a, there's no, but see, if there's still an identification that, okay, I'm trying to get to formless presence. No, I'm the formless presence that's holding this body, and I only hold it for a time, and then it's done, and that's it. And I never actually was the body that I'm holding, because I can't be, because I'm formless.
John?
Yes, yes.
If we see outside, and like at least, you know, I speak from my own experience. I experience the world with respect to a center called I. So that I encompasses of body experiences. Why do, you know, we see the world with respect to a center, with respect to an eye. See, without assuming as so and so, still body or mind can function. It can perceive the things, it can hear the things. But why should this, you know, assumption of a center happen? It happens in everyone's case, somehow knowingly or unknowingly. After I born, my mother started pointing, you know, me and saying, I, and she was pointing herself and was started saying, body as, you know, herself as I. That's how first they started pointing myself as I. Then whatever he's experiencing, hearing, they started saying that I'm experiencing it. So that's how, you know, this I was learned, and through that assumption, you know, all the perceptions, our experience, our, you know, operating. That's when, you know, like whenever I started feeling something pleasant, I started feeling like, okay, I am feeling that pleasantness. So I somehow, you know, assume that, you know, if I get that pleasantness again next time, I'll be happy. That's how this desire is getting formed. And, you know, the persuasion of desire goes on. Like that desire is formed. Like, you know, something pleasant happened, so I want to seek that pleasantness such that I will be happy. In this process, there is no I at all. Just, you know, operations are going on with, the, you know, wrong assumption of center. I'm experiencing or seeing the world. So in this process only suffering or, you know, or biases, everything are formed. Why this center is coming into the existence in the very first place?
Well, again, you know yourself, and you say, oh, I exist. I exist as what? This body form is available. A snapshot is taken that I'm this person, or I'm this object, and there are other objects, and therefore everything that goes through mind is now perceived from the perspective that I'm an object and there are other objects and I have to interrelate with them somehow. You don't know yourself as formless. You're not born and you just know, oh, I'm formlessness. No, you're, like you said, your mom, your dad, whoever, you're impressed that this is you, this body, this lump of goo. And see, if we look at it like that, the five elemental goo, and that's all it is. Like Nisargadatta Maharaj says, it's like the spit, which is like, okay, semen and this egg, they get together and they create this lump of goo. And this lump of goo then grows. And the presence that you are identifies that this lump of goo, I mean, all the energy is moving this lump of goo. It's you know, it's forming the hand. It's doing all this. You're not doing anything when you're inside the womb. Everything is just happening for you. Once you come outside the womb, then you think that somehow, some way, that you have to do something, because someone says, I'm going to stamp this body named Rami. And now Rami does good things and Rami does bad things. And these are the egoistic sense that I am a doer. But again, roll it back to prior to beingness, because once you get inside the body-based illusion and you've stepped down into this like body perception, then there's no true, there's no false. So it's very, very difficult. You have to just go back to the primary, back to prior to beingness. Prior to beingness, no mom, no dad, no world, no nothing, nothing, nothing. So because you're formless and all of this has occurred and you took the wrong perception of I'm something and there are other things, but you're nothing. You're the formlessness that's powering and doing this whole world, the background to everything. So you look at yourself and you say, this is me. And that forms this individual I sense. Now you go and you will progress and you'll inside this bubble of illusion. Like we talked about before, you're a fish. Every decision you're making is within the fishbowl, but you think you're deciding and you're having a life and all this. So everything is occurring within the bubble of illusion. You believe you're growing up, you have parents, you have hopes and dreams and all these sort of things, but all of that is within the bubble of illusion. It's a long dream, and the long dream is, I am somebody else. I am this body, but I'm not this body. And I can find this out with meditation, because in meditation I can sit, I start to settle, feel this very, very subtle presence. And as I pay more attention to the presence and less attention to the things that are occurring within that presence, then I'm kind of taught, my mind is taught to be drawn and say, okay, there's presence. Let's remain here. This is happening out here. No, but I remain here. And eventually then I go and I find a guru or a spiritual teacher or something, which is actually, again, inside the fishbowl or the bubble of illusion. And this guru tells me, you are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. So this formless presence that I can sort of, this very subtle presence, I'm feeling this, and I notice that when my attention goes to this presence, and I can only do that because of the use of this instrument. I don't identify this instrument as myself, but I can use it to like dip the cup into the nectar of immortality and sip. And I'm slowly sipping this presence. Oh, yes, yes. Oh, okay, good, good, good. And they call it like consciousness worshiping consciousness or whatever you want to call it. It's like presence with presence, be with you always. And then this out here doesn't make so much attention anymore. I don't need to draw out. And when I do, I go back. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, okay, okay. And once I've remained here long enough, then the thoughts that are going on about out here, I don't want to look at those thoughts. I want to just be here because I start to know. And the presence just, it reveals itself that this is the reality. Like there's no, that's why Nisargadatta Maharaj says, when Siddharameshwara Maharaj told him, you know, you're not body and you're everything. He said, I remain with the I am all the time in every waking moment. I go and I do my work, but I remain with I am. In every moment, I'm remaining with I am. And this I am is that sense of presence, this sense of existence. And then the existence that's appearing, or the illusory appearances, all the layers on presence, I'm no longer so caught up in, because I'm just here. And then eventually, this just here becomes the subtle knower of the sense of presence. There's no, the presence, again, is like if you have a flower and you breathe this flower, you can smell the aroma. So with eyes closed, you know there's a flower by the aroma. Well, you know you are by this sense of presence, that you are. And it, again, we talk about the, you're not counting yourself. Like, okay, there's somebody here and there's this sense of presence. Well, this sense of presence is dear to you. That's why birth is the appearance of I am, and death, so-called death, is no more I am. But all that appeared to you. You're not being born and you're not dying. And these bodies are being, in their own little way, you know, the elements are coming and making another body, and then this body grows up and wants to get together and make another body, and those bodies, and you're that is animating all of it. But you're formless. You've never actually had any experience. You can perceive time, but you don't experience time. You're perceiving all these various things because you have a body that you're using, but in reality, you're not this body. This body is just an instrument of perception of whatever you want to call it. I don't know. But the individual I is not true. And meditation, you know, mantra and meditation, this will show you this. Because, you know, as your mantra throughout your day, you'll see that this body is going through and doing all these things, but there's no sense of doership because there's no mind sitting there creating a sense of experiencing.
So would you say that at that point you're being aware of prior to beingness? Is that the same? Can you be aware of prior to beingness?
Well, it's prior to beingness that is aware, the Paramatman, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
All this stuff has appeared to you.
But not just by implication, or is it only by implication from our standpoint? I mean, you're actually there. You're aware that it's you, but
you're observing consciousness.
Yeah.
And then the consciousness, you see that all this world and everything is going on inside that consciousness. So it's like it's consciousness is observing, or I don't even want to say observing, because observing, you have to be actively doing it. It's just like, okay, all, you know, this room is here and all this stuff is in this room. But it, you know what would be a good experience is if when I'm looking at this room, if suddenly in my mind I say, okay, I'm laying down sleeping and this room is being projected inside of my dream, and I can sort of subtly take myself out of this position of being an object within this space and know that, okay, I'm the dreamer, and inside this dream is this room, and everything that's occurring inside of this room is within that dream or that consciousness, because waking consciousness and sleep consciousness are the same. It's just one consciousness that's doing all this stuff, moving everything around and creating these things. So, but everything you've ever known, see, without body, you know nothing. Once you have this appearance of body, then you start to know so many things. But then when this body's gone, then you know nothing again. But you, the knower, are there. You're just having nothing to know. You know, there's nothing. This sense of existence had to appear to that which was prior to existence. That's you.
And you know you're being that. You're aware that you are that.
You can't be anything other than that. How?
That's why, I guess, to think that there is anything other than that takes you away from being that.
Yeah, every thought is taking away from your formless state, because a thought is about form. You can't think about formlessness. Just like every question is you saying, I'm not sure about my formlessness. I actually kind of want to know if I was a form, what this would mean. But you're formless. So every question is just a doubt about your formlessness. So to remove the doubt about your formlessness, you remain with the sense of presence or the sense of I am. And then it just goes away because, of course, I'm formless. Yeah.
That's why I sometimes mention about two types of beingness. In my normal state of thinking about things. I'm thinking that things have being, and I'm thinking that things are being, but that's not what being is. Being is unexplainable. It's just, it's what makes it possible for me to think that there is being.
Well, yeah, when you remove the thinker, you remove the thoughts, you remove the sense of being, then there you are. You know, that's why Maharaj says, all experiences end, there you are. Even this sense of I am, you're not, you're prior to that because you're sensing the sense of I am, you see. You're, if you were the sense of I am, then then that's it. It just stops. But you're sensing this, but you're using body form within this dream state to sense your own self, the fragrance of the flower. Because this presence is there, you are. And everything is appearing on presence. So all of the politics is appearing on this presence, and I'm witnessing this presence. So it's so totally removed. And how do, what are my thoughts about the things that are appearing on presence? That's like in your ocean, you're a fish buried deep under. What are your thoughts about the boats that are going over top of you? Maybe there's like pirates and they're battling it out with cannons and all this stuff. But you're a fish way down here. How does what is happening on the surface affect you? It does not.
So my thought can think there's two types of being, but actually there can only be one type of being.
Well, it's not even a type. It just is. And everything that you think about other than this, or other than a thought, automatically takes you away from yourself because you have to think about something. If think about this, if you were just the space in the room, what would there be to think about? Yeah. What would the space in the room think about? Oh. And it doesn't have to say, I'm the space, I'm the space, I'm the space. No, space in the room is here. It doesn't have to think about anything. Whatever occurs inside the space doesn't matter. You know, pirates are battling up on the top of the ocean and you're a fish down below. It doesn't affect you. You're not registering as an experience of something is happening to me.
It's hard to admit that there can be a deceptive nature to what you thought your whole life. It's hard to...
Yeah, you just have to leave it. Like Maharaj says, you have to have courage. Step forward. You are not body. Right away, the egoistic sense is going to say, oh, but what about my life? It meant nothing. And you know, then when I leave the body, all this was for nothing and life is nothing. No, no, no. Because you see, you never were this thing that you think you are. So how can it mean anything? You never were that.
That's never really good news.
Yeah. You never did have any experience. You never did have any life that you're living or whatever. You're kind of peeking inside the bubble of illusion for a time, and that illusion has appeared to you. Why?
I always want an explanation. I always want to find out why it's possible for me to experience what is not me in the first place, and it's just a possibility that somehow fulfills itself. That it's just possible, but
you can only experience what is not you through the illusion of duality. You create the appearance of experience.
Wow. Even beingness is illusion. Nice.
Everything. It's just you. You know you are through this beingness, through this bubble of illusion. But you're not. You see, you never had this life. You never had parents or mom or dad or whatever. But see, it's not like then you say, oh, my life meant nothing, because you're not actually living this life. You're not having this life. You're the formlessness that doesn't even recognize itself at all with anything. Now that you're inside this bubble of illusion or inside this dream state, then you can see and do and all this. And again, just like the guy laying down, or us, we lay down at sleep at night, and the sense of existence mixes with the consciousness and projects a dream world. And you're in that dream world. But when you wake up, you don't cry about, oh, my dream body is no longer with me. And none of the experiences I had inside the dream, no matter how real they appeared at the time, were real. They couldn't be. I was dreaming. So I know this. So that gives me the idea of the formlessness that's creating this consciousness, this bubble of illusion, and everything that's occurring within it is not true. Because you're formless. You never were a form.
And I thought of this yesterday. I was feeling very much just being, and I thought, well, it's so easy to be. It's like, there's a book called Ease of Being. I haven't read it, but just that comment made it hit me. It's like, it's the ease of being. But of course, if I think I'm not being, if I think I'm some other kind of being, then I'm going to create all kinds of problems for myself.
Yeah, but I mean, since you're not, and see, when troubles come in this form-based reality that you are not, then you don't have to disturb your mind, and you'll notice that they pass very quickly. These scenes, they just come and go and come and go, and you're not in them. You're not creating time because you're not an object in time and space, and there's no, yeah, like I said, the next time you're in a room and you have people all around, imagine that room, or you can see from the perspective of that room being within the dream, and you're laying down sleeping. And everything that's occurring is within that dream that you're dreaming, and you're the sleeper. So you don't pay so much attention to what this person is saying or what that person is saying. Pay attention to the space and know, oh, wow, this space is occurring, and I'm kind of outside of it. And everything that's inside of it is not myself. None of that is myself. Or you could say it has to be all myself because it's occurring within this little bubble that I'm outside of.
And it does feel like that sometimes. It is all yourself.
Yeah, because you probably have lost touch, so much pressure with the body. When I'm pressured into this limited form through thoughts about myself and worrying about myself, then it looks like I'm this body having these experiences. Especially then I create the illusion of good experiences, bad experiences, because something's happening to this body that I would prefer not happen. But when you're just not, you have no pressure of body, then it's just these eyes and you're seeing and things happen and this is happening and you do what's needed in the moment, but they move through. We talked about channel surfing. It's very much like this. Channel, you sit down, you put on a TV and you're watching 3 minutes, get totally involved, and then boop, flip away. You don't remember what that show was, and now you're involved in another show. And boop, you flip that channel. And you just keep channel surfing. You're the guy in the chair, and these scenes are appearing and disappearing before you. And one step further back, this guy in the chair who's watching these scenes going back and forth is within the bubble, and you're outside of it.
In the bhajans, when it says, for instance, like, everything is myself, that, I mean, to really be there, that means that it's the experience of oneself maybe as being the universal consciousness. In other words, like, I'm the entire bubble. Everything is within me, everything. And yet, that's illusion. That's kind of like the I am that kind of like spreads out, and then so the knower of that sense of universal consciousness, the knower of that is what I think, the Sagarata would call the absolute. The absolute is that, yeah, that knower. So there's two levels there, right? One is a step up when you become the broad universal consciousness, like everything is myself, it's all just simply happening. And then the other one is...
Like Nisargadatta, or I'm sorry, Sri Ramakant Maharaj says, if at all you want to compare yourself to sky or space, what you just said, instantaneously, I can be universal consciousness because if I want to compare myself, I'm not this body at all, but if I want to compare it even close to what I am, I can say I'm the space or the sky. And immediately then I'm universal consciousness because under the sky, all of this is happening. Or in this room or in this, you know, when I'm driving down the road and all these cars are there, if I'm the space, I'm not just the space in the car. I'm the space in the car, outside the car, and in and out of all these other cars. So I'm automatically in that universal position of seeing. Mm-hmm. That's the quickest way to say, you know, like you said, okay, if I have to, in the absolute state, how does the absolute? Okay, the absolute is, if at all I want to compare, I compare myself to sky or space. Everything, I go outside and I look at the sky, and everything that's under the sky is within myself. So that is that consciousness. And now I'm observing that I'm like, because I'm more subtle than sky or space, because I know sky or space. So then all the occurrences that are within are just myself. It's just a dream. That's why if we talk about laying down at night and sleeping and a dream is appearing, maybe it would be a good exercise. I don't know. Don't make it exercise. But if you're sitting in a room and there are a lot of people, just kind of subtly know that this is all, I'm the space, and all this is occurring within that space, and I'm kind of laying down, sleeping, and this is occurring. Then mind won't be able to trouble you about what's going on inside the space, because you're not identified with an object in the space in that moment. And prior to being knowing, space and sky are there because of my spontaneous presence.
Some teachers call it consciousness without an object.
Objectless consciousness, yeah. I mean, the space. Pay attention when you look, like I'm sitting here and my microwave is over there. I can look from object to object, or I can try to pay attention to the space between this object and that object, knowing that I'm this space and these two objects are occurring or appearing inside of that.
You can only do that by not identifying. You can only be aware of that.
Yeah. I mean, but you're not body. You're really not. Like, you're going to know this. If you keep digging at yourself, you will know you are not body, because you're not. It's not like we're creating some kind of a story of, oh, it'd be very nice if I wasn't the body, how my mind wouldn't trouble me. No. You're not the body, and the mind doesn't trouble you. So you just keep digging. Just keep saying, oh, no. You know, this, I feel this sense of presence, sense of peace, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to label it. And all this that's occurring, I'm just not interested in. I just have no interest whatsoever. How can I have interest in that? It's all occurring within myself. If I have a lot of interest in things, I can go to sleep and be very interested in the dream world too. Imagine if you had some kind of psychosomatic illness and you were totally involved in your dream world, and every morning you woke up in terror because, oh my God, I have to get back and fix that thing. Even though you're wide awake now in the morning, you're totally like, oh my God, you know, in my dream world, I was a king, and now I appear as a beggar. I need to go back to that king. I need to lay down and try to sleep and get back to that dream, because I believe that dream is real. It's impressed. And this dream is a long dream, because I am impressed with, I am a body. And once you lose this illusory, if the concept of separation dissolves the moment you know yourself in a real sense, because if you're formless, and Sri Ramakant Maharaj says, see the master is formless, see yourself as formless, and then there's no separation. There can't be. You're formless. So the only way you can separate then is the walls or these buildings. But again, what we just talked about in the space, if I'm stuck in traffic and I say I'm the space or the under the sky in the space in which all of this is occurring, then I'm not stuck in traffic, because I'm the space inside my car. I'm the space outside of my car. I'm the space inside the guy's next to me car or the lady's next to me car. And I'm the space outside the car. So where does the space begin and the space end? And how can the space die? If I wreck my car, and my space if escapes, is it my space that's escaping? No. Yet when I'm inside my car, or when the breath is inside this body, I say, this is my breath. I breathe it out, and then it's like, okay, now it's everybody's breath. But when I breathe it in, it's my breath. It's my last breath. Even though The breath is not, there's no last, there's no beginning, there's no end, it's space. Only when there's an individualized representation and you impress this, you squish yourself, you limit yourself.
One tricky thing about that, though, is that when I become aware that I am just being or just consciousness, just the space, I automatically become more patient, and it like changes my demeanor. And then I want to think, well, this is wonderful. And if I could bring this awareness into my activities and explain it to others, that it would have a transformative effect on everybody else. And I want to, that's still another way of kind of like trying to possess it and make something out of it.
You're not bringing awareness. Awareness is dissolving you. Like, you're not bringing awareness. Awareness is, you are not.
Yeah.
So when you're paying attention to the objects in awareness or presence or whatever you want to call it, then, and it's okay. If you sit there and you catch yourself, much better to catch yourself saying, oh, this is nice. Much better to catch yourself doing that than to say, I don't like what's going on in this situation or whatever. When you catch yourself, you say, oh, I was looking at this experience that was occurring, and there wasn't a me in it. Okay, good. Now, don't keep patting yourself on the back for this, and don't try to explain it. Just go deeper into this. Notice that, oh, for a moment I created an I am somebody. Now, I'm not creating an I am somebody for the simple purpose of, like, oh, no, this bad thing is happening. Instead, I'm having a good experience, okay, but I know that I'm not an experiencer because I'm formless, so I remain back with my formlessness. I just have to keep receding, receding, receding. Don't get caught up in the experiences, whether they're good or bad. Know yourself as prior to beingness, in which this experience has been allowed to occur. And it's okay. You can say, wow, you know, I went my whole commute today, and my mind didn't stir one time. Okay, well, now my mind has stirred to say that my mind hasn't stirred. But okay, I notice that, and I go back to keeping quiet again, to just remaining with myself. I can do that too if for some reason, you know, I walk to the metro and my card doesn't work. Okay, I'm kind of in a nice mood. My card doesn't work. Okay, I have to go to the guy and talk to the guy. So maybe I'm stepping up just a little bit. There's a disturbance of some sort, and then it just recedes back to the background of nothingness. That's perfectly okay and can happen for a time. You exercise this beingness until there's no exerciser, or you concentrate on the center of concentration until there's no concentrator. You don't concentrate on the objects within the concentration or within the meditation. You meditate on the meditator, concentrate on the concentrator. And just keep bringing yourself back to the I am, to the presence, this sense of presence, the sense of existence.
Ramesh Balsakar once said that when he was sitting with the Saradatta Maharaj, he thought that what he was talking about was prescriptive, that's the word he used. And then he finally realized that what he was saying was descriptive, because if there's no doer, there's no one to do anything in the first place. So basically it's kind of like... it just simply happens, you know.
Empty words or something?
I'm sorry?
Empty words? Like the script was like empty words or something?
No, he's a prescriptive in a sense that...
Prescriptive.
Prescriptive, like the Saradatta was telling people what to do. You got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you got to, you know, basically. And then he said he realized that what he was really doing, it was descriptive. This is basically what does happen as a matter of fact. You know, if there's who's going to do anything in the first place? You know, it's kind of like, it's got to come to you, you know, I guess. And yet we talk, and maybe the talking is good because, you know, like if we still believe ourselves to be the doer, or there's that, you know, that thin layer of doership, you know, around, it's good to keep hearing that, you know, so forth and so forth. You know, like, because I was listening to Ramakant, when he talks about don't do anything, don't think anything, don't plan anything, don't do anything. You know, because I was asking myself, you know, like I think the last time we spoke, I had asked about how do you deliberate on what you're supposed to do? I read that. And it's like, well, don't think about it. Don't think anything. Don't plan anything. Don't do anything. It just will emerge spontaneously. So yeah. That's just the most important
thing. And you can ask your inner master.
Yeah.
If you have a thought and you want to think, okay, you say, oh, should I do this or should I do that? Oh, master, what's this? These answers will come from inside you and you'll know this. Mm-hmm. And you'll start to invite the attention of the invisible listener and continuously remain there. And the answers will come spontaneously because that's the truth. And that's why, too, all these masters are speaking from direct experience. They're not speaking from book. You know, it's direct experience. When you say, oh, so these scenes are passing, going like this, it's not that I've read about that that's what's happening. It's like, that's the experience. The direct experience is that there's no one here and scenes are passing. The direct experience is that you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. It's not from reading a book and saying, okay, so consciousness does this and consciousness does that. No, it's directly experiencing. Consciousness is just the label for this bubble of illusion, this circle of illusory concepts, because I believe I'm a body. I've taken a snapshot and all the thoughts about this body and this world appear to me to be true. And when I, quote, deliberate or think about things, I think from the wrong perspective of being a body. So automatically, all my information is false because I'm deliberating or thinking from the perspective of being a body, and I am not. Throwing all this away and directly experiencing. Directly experience the sense of presence and know you are that. That you are. Okay, what about Brahman? Oh, no. Brahman, Atman, Paramatman, God, and Master are labels. Once you drop down into the body-based experience, you have a voice and you have to label things so that you can communicate with your own self in other forms, but nonetheless, there has to be communication. So these labels, Brahman, Atman, Paramatman, God, and Master, are only when you've dove down into the body-based experiences do you know these. Maharaj says, prior to beingness, did you know anything about God? Prior to beingness, did you know anything about Brahman? No. Okay, so remain with yourself. And all these things have been added on after you believed yourself to be a body and you started acquiring body knowledge. Body knowledge are things that from this wrong perspective of my being a body, I go out and gather information. The true knowledge is, oh, so that I, so all this knowledge is useless. And yet I can still, you know, I do a job and I'm, you know, I do what's in front of me and I enjoy my experience in this body form, but I know that this experience in this body form has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with that. The formlessness can't be cut, can't be divided, can't be harmed, can't be nothing. How? Like nothing can happen. It's like nothing.
And it all just simply happens, correct? Just
are just, and the only way nothing is
it's something. The illusion of something happening, I guess. It's so you just let it happen. You know, it's an illusion, but you don't get caught up in it.
Right. Well, the illusion of experience is impressed through the concept, I am a body. Without a body, there's no experience. So now this concept, I am a body, let's investigate that. Is that true? And that's how Siddhartha Mishra Maharaj goes through the five bodies to see, are any of these five bodies, am I there? No, I'm not. I can chop off this arm and I still don't increase or decrease myself at all. I increase or decrease this body and I experience pain because I'm sensorily kind of perceiving that, wow, this arm just got chopped off. This is terrible. But it doesn't increase or decrease me in the least bit. I could sit and meditate and there's no thought at all. And yet I'm witnessing this void of no thought. And so since I'm witnessing this void, I don't have to fear the void. I'm prior to the void since I'm witnessing it. I'm prior to the sense of experience, or the sense of existence, because this sense of existence has appeared to me. If I was not there, knock, knock on the door, who's there? Nobody's there. But if nobody's there, nobody can say nobody's there. You would just get no answer. Knock, knock, nothing. Oh, but somebody says nobody's there. Oh, so somebody's there. And now from that, where's politics? Where's job? Where's all body-based relations or illusion? Because I'm not a body. Everything that this body is experiencing is brought about by the illusion that I'm a body. Without a body, I can't experience. So I just have to remain with myself the self. And I have to cultivate that sense of presence. Like Maharaj says, Master gives you the plant of your own selfless self. And you have to take it home and water it with bhajans, with devotion, with I need to know. You have to till the soil and the plant grows very nicely. Maharaj hands you the plant, and if you put it on your counter and you say, oh, you know, I have one nice plant from Maharaj, you go back, it's dead. But Master's given you the plant, the self, the self. He's planted the seeds of reality, and now you just have to water it with devotion, with some time, with meditation, with bhajan, with really experiencing yourself with self.
When you start to see that the world of politics has no being, it's hard. I mean, normally we get wrapped up in it and think, I mean, this is happening. This is being on this. This is what life on this earth is like, being with politics and all this stuff. But when you start to see that it doesn't have any being, I mean, it's there and it's some kind of relative illusory sense, but you are not, you are not that. It's just kind of like going on by itself somehow, or it's what makes it illusory, because it has no, it has none of its own substance other than being
what you give to it.
Or you.
Nothing has any substance other than what you impart to it.
Yeah,
and just like if you go back in history, there were many times in history, like the whatchamacallit, when Kennedy was in office and there was the Cuban Missile Crisis, and all the people were like, oh my God, it's the end of the world. It's terrible, this and that. But it just passed through. And had it been the end of the world, you wouldn't know it. So why to worry? Why to say, oh, no, this terrible thing is happening and all this. And, oh, okay, these people are dying and that's very sad or whatever. But it's all within the bubble of illusion. And no one's dying and no one's being born. The formlessness, all this activity is occurring within the formlessness. You can still have compassion, but you're not involved in it because you don't have a dog in the fight.
It's very hard to see that that has no being.
Well, that's why you have to just see. You can't see that other things have no being. You just have to remain with your own self. Yeah. And once this sense of presence is so strong, it's selfless self-intoxication. You don't want to give yourself away to something. You know, you see a little quarrel on the street. Okay, let me quarrel. Or somebody says, you know, I'm so sick of looking at you on YouTube. I just want to punch you in the face. Okay, well, you know, I'm sad. Sorry you feel that way. But there's no, we're not taking the touch. Like Maharaj talks about the abuse. When someone abuses you, immediately you're like, oh, I'm going to get this person. I'm going to get this. Use this energy to find yourself the self. I must. I hear all this about presence. I open up the books and it talks about presence and consciousness. It talks about I am. I'm not going to debate what that I am is. I must find that I am. I don't care what it is. Somebody says there's something to find. And then that's how Nisargadatta accepted the knowledge from Sri Siddharameshwara Maharaj, because he said, there's something to find, go find it. And Nisargadatta didn't say, well, what exactly is it that I'm finding, or how to find this? No, I want this I am. I must find it. My master says it's so, it's so. And it's so. And if you don't believe Sri Ramaka Maharaj, you can listen to Sri Ramana Maharaj, or basically everybody saying, there's a presence, there's a consciousness, there's an I am. Remain with that and allow this other scene to pass. And don't worry about this stuff. When you're remained with your selfless self, I must know this. And you cultivate this like the plant. Master has planted the seed of reality. Nisargadatta Maharaj says, once you hear this good news, you jump for joy. Now you have to find this good news. And don't debate whether by which channel you heard this news or how this news is affecting or whether this news is true. You know, it doesn't make sense. Your Supreme Self in the body of Sri Ramakant Maharaj has said, you're not body. So if you're not body, you're formless. If you're formless, then we're one. You can't have separation because you're not a body and I'm not a body. We appear to be separate bodies, but that's only the appearance within the illusion. Prior to being this, none of this was happening. There was no concept of separation nor a need to speak about it. And Maharaj says, read the reader. It's not reading. So many times, like on Cura, you'll see people and they'll say, well, what if this and what if that and what if this and what if that? No, 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 man. This book is to reflect the reader. What is being read is your own self. This is your experience. When someone says this, and Nisargadatta Maharaj describes in detail how he's doing and what is happening and how he is seeing, that is you that seeing in the form of Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. And don't sit there and say, oh, this great master. Okay, yes, this great master. But this great master is not Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj, and he knows this. This great master is the master, the formlessness that you are in body form, because you believe you're a body form. You believe in separate master and disciple. But even the master knows there's no master and disciple. It's the formlessness that speaks to two forms, trying to get you to release this concept that you're a body, because you're not.
So if I start doing the neti type practice, you know, pay attention to that idea. It seems I will say, well, okay, so everything that passes can't have being, but. In doing so, I'm still got a sense that there is something is that is passing, but there is nothing that is passing. But it seems like in order for there to be something passing, it seems like there has to be something that's passing.
But there has to be a you. And if there's a you, then you just have to erase this you.
Yeah, so yeah, don't see it as that. Yeah, it's not really what it seems to be. It's you. It's only you. It can only be there because you are there. Like,
you're prior to every experience, yes, including the experience I exist. And the experience I exist created this this illusory world, and then the body experience happened and there's a world created and you see yourself in it. All that's not true, though. You're prior to the experience I exist, because this experience of existence has appeared to you. And we're not talking about the individualized body form that has been born and is existing. We're talking about that that you are was prior to the sense of existence. And the sense of existence, boom, created everything. Just like laying down at night, you're sleeping. The sense of existence mixes and consciousness acts. You're the projector of the entire dream world. The same is true from this other so-called waking world. And I don't have to say nothing's happening. I just have to remain with presence. That's the thing. I just have to investigate myself, be with my own self. I don't have to prove the existence or non-existence of anything. My own self proves existence. I'm here. I exist. I just don't exist as I appear to be or what I think I am. No, I exist. And now let's investigate the sense of existence, this I am, this beingness, whatever you want to call it. Subtle, subtle sense. Let's investigate this. Let's spend every waking moment investigating this and remaining there and not caring about, you know, all the different whatever is happening. I just want to really know myself. I'm just going to take some time to really know myself. It's obvious I exist because I'm here. If I didn't exist, I couldn't say I don't exist. And if I say I don't exist, the proof of existence is my able to say I don't exist. So I have to exist. So now I have to find this sense of existence, this sense of presence, this I am, and remain there. And know that all these things out there, you know, illusion, maya, bubble of illusion, whatever you want to call it, they're there to distract me from knowing who I am. Because once I know who I am, all that disappears. That's the magic box. It's like, if I sit there and I try to look at all the illusory dangling things, I'm lost forever. But if I just remain with myself, that's the magic box. Oh, because so that I, this is not. Rather than this is not, and how do I relate to these things that are not? The unborn child wants to investigate its world rather than just knowing, oh, I'm unborn. And that's how, like Maharaj says, you get the people who say they've been in spirituality for 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, because they're investigating this bubble of illusion. And within the bubble of illusion, this appears as something one time and not the same as the other time. And then I have to try and figure out why did it appear differently the second time than the first time? And how is that happening? It's because I'm lost in the bubble of illusion. And if I drop down into the bubble of illusion and I don't pay attention to my own selfless self, I will be lost forever. All these concepts, the first concept, I exist, births all these other concepts. And then from there, nothing's true and nothing's false. So I'm a dog chasing its tail until the body expires.
Anyway, John, it's an 8:15.
Yes. Good. So you Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Bye. Bye.